Guys, it's good to be back this week. I'm grateful for Michael, our missionary friend, right, our guest speaker last week, and grateful for everyone that just stepped up last week on short notice while my family was away. In case you guys didn't know, my grandfather passed away and went back and flew to Kansas City and spoke at his funeral and sang at his funeral, which is hard to do when you're crying, amen, right? But it was good. It was an honor to be there, an honor to do that. We were able to look at Grandpa's life and just see a man that is a man of God, right? Just a man of God. He loved Jesus with all of his heart. He loved his family. He loved his neighbors well. So it was an emotional and tough weekend, but I was grateful to be there and grateful to have a loving family here serving and praying for us. Last week, Michael began our Christmas series focusing on the wonder of Christmas. Some of you, this may be your first Christmas as a Christian. It may be your first Christmas time in church. Or maybe you're on the other side where you've been in church for a long time, maybe most of your life, or you've been a Christian for many years, and so you've heard the stories, right? You've sang the songs, you've listened to the sermons, right, about the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus. And if we are not careful, church, we can come to the Christmas season all stressed out, trying to just make it through, and just maybe we can find a little time for Jesus in the midst of it. It happens. But church, I pray that over the next 3 weeks, we would ask God to light a flame within us, to remind us of why we celebrate, to help us reflect on Jesus and why he came. And I believe if we do that, we'll walk away more in love with Jesus, more in awe of Jesus, as we step back and just see the wonder of Christmas. Last week, Michael began this series focusing on the hope that we have in Jesus and his good news, the gospel. And you guys looked at Colossians chapter 1, and we were reminded that as we celebrate Christmas, we're celebrating the birth of Jesus. And Jesus is the one that created all things. He is the creator God. Right? He's creator God. He is the one who is to have first place in all things. He is the one that's in charge. He's the head of the church. He is Lord. He is the one that forgives us, and we celebrate that he is the one that we place our hope in. Today, I want us to look at a passage in Mark chapter 10. We're going to look at really verses 32 through 45, but verse 45 is going to be our main focus today. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and grab those. We'll be there in just a second. If you need a Bible, we've got one on the back table back there, and the words will be up on the screen as well. But this is a passage, church. This is one of my favorite passages. It leaves me in awe of who Jesus is. Leaves me in awe of who Jesus is and why he came. I believe this is a passage that can be preached really any time of year, right? But it's a passage for Christmas and Easter. It is a passage that if we truly take the time to read it and understand it, it will leave us more in love with Jesus and more ready to follow him and surrender to Jesus this season. And so if you're ready to dive into God's Word, grab your Bibles, open them to Mark chapter 10, and as you're turning there, I want to give us an explanation of what is happening before we get to verse 45. Mark, if you're not familiar, Mark is in the New Testament. It's one of the Gospels, tells the story of Jesus' life. You've got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So that's the New Testament. And the first half of Mark is where we read of Jesus coming. Right? He is doing ministry. He's doing miracle. He's teaching. He's serving. He's loving. He's calling on people to follow him. And he's going from town to town to do that. But in chapters 8 through 10, we see a little bit of a shift in Jesus' life. Jesus begins to tell his disciples some news. He begins to tell them that Jesus came. He says, I came to suffer. And I came to die, and I came to rise again on the third day. And when we come to chapter 10, in verse 32 through 34, we see Jesus really begin that ministry, or that journey to Jerusalem. He had been traveling from town to town, and here he's saying, all right, guys, it's time to head to Jerusalem. And he tells his disciples one last time in Mark, he says, behold. By the way, when Jesus says behold, we should behold, amen, like we should listen. He says, listen up. We are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man is a title that Jesus gave himself, saying that he's the Son of God and Son of Man. So Jesus will be delivered to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death, and will hand him over to the Gentiles. They will mock him and spit on him and scourge him and kill him. Scourging, if, in case you're not familiar, is where they're going to tie his wrists and either going to stretch him out this way or over an object where he's leaning over, and they whip him. And on the end of leather straps, they're going to have things like glass and rock and nails and metal. And so that's scourging. And they're going to kill him. And 3 days later, he will rise again. And we're going to come back to that passage in just a little bit. But after Jesus tells his disciples this news that that's where they're going, this is what we're going to do, instead of his disciples, and church, I think we can identify with this. Sometimes we read something in the Bible and we're like, man, that's really important. And then we move on to something else, right? And instead of focusing on what Jesus just told them, they begin to bicker and argue and talk about who's the greatest among them. Right? Sounds like Americans, right? Doesn't it? Like, who's the greatest among us? They began to argue over who's the best and who gets the closest position to Jesus and who gets the most honor and who's the most important. But Jesus tells them in verse 43, he says, guys, whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you shall be slave of all. He's saying this: if you want to be first, if you want to be great, if you want to have honor, be willing to serve others. Put others before you. Jesus is saying, if you're a follower of Christ in the kingdom of God, we are to serve others. And that's going to lead us right into verse 45, where we see Jesus show us what it means to be the greatest and the greatest servant of all in just one verse that we're going to read today. But let's stand, let's honor God and his word. Because he's worthy, we're going to stand and just follow along as I read this passage. Here's what Jesus says in verse 45 of Mark chapter 10. He says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but he came to serve and give his life a ransom for many. Father, we come here today to celebrate and to look forward and prepare our hearts for Christmas. Today we look at why you came. Last week we looked at who you are and the hope that we have in you. God, in our world today, we need hope. But today, we get to look at why you came. And God, we pray, Lord, today that if there's someone here today that has not given their life to you, we pray, Lord, today that you would draw them near to you and let them know how much you love them and that you came and gave your life for them. God, for those that do know Jesus, God, we're so grateful for that. Sinners that deserve nothing, but you gave everything. God, change us today. Teach us to be more like you. Help us be in all of you, in Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Church, when we think about Christmas, we think about Jesus. We think about why Jesus came. And in this passage right here, Jesus himself tells us why he came. He says, I did not come to be served, right, but to serve. Now, we know from Scripture, church, that we are to follow and obey and serve the Lord Jesus. Right, we do that because of who he is. We do that because he created us and he gave us life. We do that because of what he did for us. He came and lived and died on the cross. We serve him and follow him and obey him because he's Lord and he's God. But he says right here that his intention, his reason for coming wasn't to be served. It's that he came to serve. Jesus is saying Christmas is about Jesus coming to serve. And it's kind of crazy to think about this, church. Right? Because in their day, when an important person of influence, when a person of power, when a king came in, they expected to be applauded. They expected the carpet to be rolled out for them, right? They expected to be catered to, they expected people to serve them. And Jesus is King of Kings, church, right? He is Lord. He is in charge. But Jesus has a different agenda than these earthly kings do. He's different. He has a different mission. And today, that's what we're going to look at. And our prayer is this, is that when we see why Jesus came, we will walk out of here just in awe of him. We're going to walk out of here reminded or maybe hearing for the first time why Jesus came. And as we look at our text today, we're going to see five reasons as to why Jesus came and celebrate and to look forward to Christmas. And so the first one is found in verse 32 through 34. Often when we think about Christmas, we think about Jesus' birth. We think about the baby in a manger. We think about the shepherds and the Mary and Joseph. But we often forget that Jesus came. He was born for a purpose. In verse 32, Jesus tells them a purpose. He says, hey, we've been doing ministry for a bit, and now we're going to Jerusalem. And the Son of Man, Jesus saying, Jesus, will be delivered to the chief priests and the scribes, and they're going to condemn him to death. And they're going to hand him over to the Gentiles, the Romans, right? And they're going to mock him, and they're going to spit on him and scourge him and kill him. And 3 days later, he will rise again. Church, we need to know this. We celebrate Christmas. It's an amazing time of year. We talk about the spirit of Christmas, and everybody's happy and full of joy. But we need to know that this Christmas, that Jesus came to suffer and die. That's why he came. He came to suffer and die. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, maybe include him there to rise again. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus was not an accident. It didn't just happen because people got mad at him. It was intentional. That's why he came. We can look back to Isaiah chapter 53, and we see there, church, Isaiah chapter 53 was written 700 years prior to Jesus being born. And it tells us there that Jesus was going to come and suffer and die. Let's look at just part of that. 700 years prior to the first Christmas, we read this about Jesus. This is being foretold. Called prophecy. Verse 3, it says, he was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Verse 4, surely our griefs he, Jesus himself, bore, and our sorrows he carried. Isaiah 53, verse 5, but he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening or the punishment for our well-being or our peace fell upon him, and by his scourging, by his wounds, by his stripes, we are healed. That was foretold 700 years prior to Jesus' birth. That's why Jesus came. When he was born, he came to suffer and die and rise again. And look back to Mark chapter 10, verse 32. Jesus says, we're going to Jerusalem, and I'm going to be delivered over to them, and I'm going to be condemned to death, and I'm going to be spit on, and I'm going to be beaten, I'm going to be killed, and I'm going to rise again. Church, here's the crazy thing. Jesus walked toward the suffering.